about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Don. Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Oh, Matt.
Lovely to meet you.
What do you think?
I'm a astrophysicist.
Okay, I'm a Gemini.
I'm a Leo.
All the boxes ticked. Can't believe it.
Everybody that's sitting at home is a bored mother. Nothing to do with their lives, so they're literally sitting at home while I'm living a great life. You know, I got popping and like that. If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping.
And now, agree to disagree, our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 10th of July.
You ain't got haters, guys. You ain't popping.
Right? Mm.
That's my takeaway.
You've been saying that your whole life.
Hey, I feel like because we were just replaying the segment on the sound that only teens can hear.
Right.
That maybe,
isn't that weird?
The people listening right now deserve an update as well because the phones were ringing off the hook and the texts and tweets are starting to come in as well with people who can't believe we can't hear that noise.
I mean, we could. Yeah, we're just like trolling you.
Well, I don't like to put it that way.
Well, what would
it's
you call
what,
it?
It's what we did.
What would you call it?
We're all having fun.
What? Mm-hmm. Did you we're play just, it yet? I mean, come on. It was even poorly done.
The point is, there is an actual sound that only teenagers can hear. That's not it.
We think. I still don't know if Beans played it or not.
Well, I have played it, okay. But we have substituted our own wacky sound effect with that. So you're not going crazy. Yes, you did hear it, no matter your age, because we played it, and it's a thing.
Bean lied. So that's the bottom line.
It was his idea.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Dare you? You guys, you may be hearing a thunderstorm today. I'm just telling you, it's really raining hard and thunder's happening here. We have a tropical storm on the way through New Orleans this week.
What's the name?
Well, they haven't named it yet.
Oh,
why the delay?
When did they name it?
I think they did. Do they name tropical storms?
Sure.
I always thought they did.
It's still a depression. It's not a storm yet. So,
well, because she doesn't have a name.
Oh, that's why she's depressed.
Yeah.
They're talking about 8 inches of rain today.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
You have a backup generator, or are we just going to
do
the show without
a generator?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, if we lose power, then I lost power yesterday, in fact, for a while.
Oh, all right.
So, if we lose power, we should be fine there. But I'm just warning you, there's not much I can do about the thunder and the rain. That's happening big time. So.
Wow.
Allie.
Yeah.
You're one of those unusual people who travels with a metal straw, right?
I have a metal straw, but I have most recently been using it's like a rubbery material. I like those better.
Oh, tell me about that.
Never mind. Forget it. It's rubbery material.
Rubber straw
in my mouth.
Okay, rubber straw. Yeah.
Uh huh.
How do you use it?
Shut up.
You just keep it in your purse, and that way when you go to a restaurant, you can have a straw whenever you want one. Because is the deal that nobody offers straws anymore, or they just offer the weak-ass paper straws
that
no one
likes? Yeah, it's the paper straws, and those suck.
Those are terrible, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, what are you doing about it? You go to McDonald's, you don't get a straw anymore?
I don't. I just drink it without the straw.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. I didn't realize it was possible, but then I tried it, and I was like, hey.
But that's inconvenient if you're driving to have a cup of soda in your car without a straw.
Yeah, I mean, you just drink a little off the top.
Yeah. What about a shake, though? You need a straw for a shake.
What about a shake?
No, shakes won't go through a straw. If they're good shakes, they're thick, they don't go through a straw.
But that's more like a fribble, not a shake.
A what?
A fribble?
I don't know that word.
They used to sell those at when I was a kid, and I'd go back east for summers. At Friendly's, and my Aunt Jane would say, don't dribble your fribble. And we would laugh.
Never tell that story again.
All right?
Yeah, but McDonald's...
It's like a Wendy's... Frosty.
Okay.
Frosty, yeah. Well, they serve that with a spoon, but again, McDonald's shakes come with a straw.
I mean, if they hand me a straw, it's not like I turn around and go back and give it
I'm
back
just
to
trying
them,
to figure out if straws are available. That's what I'm trying
I
to
I would
out.
Think so, yeah.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the metal straw that's in the news, I think, is a surprising story.
Uh-oh.
This is Elena Struthers Gardner, 60, suffered a traumatic brain injury after falling while carrying a mason jar-style drinking glass that had a screw-top lid at her home in Dorset in the U.K. This is exactly what I use at home, by the way. Is mm-hmm. the have you seen these the mason
oh,
jars?
Adorable.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And I like them because whenever I accidentally drop it or spill it or something like that, the drink doesn't go everywhere.
What you, it's like a sippy cup for you?
It's like a sippy cup, yeah.
Wow.
You know you have it you sit it on the floor or something like that
with,
you accidentally
with a bib?
Knock it over, it doesn't get everything wet. It's awesome.
Done to change your nappy.
Struthers Gardner's death was ruled an accident. And a coroner's report noted that clearly great care should be taken when using metal straws. There's no give in them at all, said the assistant coroner, Brendan Allen. If someone does fall on one and it's pointed in the wrong direction, serious injury can occur. Yes, I said coroner because
she's dead?
The woman fell and the 10-inch metal straw pierced through her eye.
Oh, my God.
And into her brain.
Oh,
her wife, Mandy, told the hearing she found her partner lying in a doorway between the kitchen and the living room. She was making an unusual gurgling sound. Her glass cup was lying on the floor, still intact. The straw was still in the jar, and then I noticed it was sticking into her head.
Oh, my God. This is gross.
She was rushed into the hospital. Doctors told her that her wife, the severity of her wife's injuries made it unlikely she would survive. Her life support was eventually switched off. She was a retired jockey, by the way, who had mobility difficulties stemming from a horse riding accident. I don't know why that's part of the story.
It shouldn't be.
That was also happening. But anyway, I guess the reason it's part of a story is because of those injuries, she had trouble. She was prone to falling over.
Oh, I see.
And it sounds like that's what happened she had a drink in her hand. So, yeah, so a metal straw went through her eye and into her brain.
That's not the way you want to go.
Mm-mm. No, it's Mm-mm. not at all. I have never considered that the straw that I use here on my beverage, my sippy cup, is dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean,
never thought about that.
You fall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
you
not
should
like it's...
switch to rubber. Just rubber in your mouth. You'll be fine.
It's not like it's whittled. It's sharpened like a,
Hers wasn't easy either.
Yeah, but that's why I'm so surprised that it can go right through your eye, but I guess just the right angle.
You fall on it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess the takeaway is don't do that, and you're smart to stick with the rubber straw, it sounds like, Ellie.
Got barted.
I don't think that's going to
go
through your brain.
Fabulous.
Right.
Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific.
It's a good start.
Good barted. Yeah. Good barted.
Give you something to be happy about right off the bat.
Let's start with a woman that died by a straw.
Right.
Let's start
death
that way.
By straw.
Right?
I never thought I'd hear that.
Nope.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Good morning.
Beautiful.
Brought us back.
Wow. Did you sing that, Bean?
I did.
Who could be against pole dancing?
Exactly.
Communists.
What is
happening?
I think
even communists like pole dancing.
Right? Not even them.
This is not my America, you guys.
Right? People are dumb on the program today?
People are dumb.
Okay. Thanks for the backup on that. We have Comic-Con passes.
Yes.
Excellent.
We have those. You tried to do something nice, and it backfired.
Oh, no.
We're going to take those calls, because remember when Bean saved that bird, and then it got killed by another bird?
I don't know if he saved it as much as put it on the path to its death.
Just
that's
ushered
not what
it into
that's
sweet
not
death.
What
right.
At all, by
yeah.
the way.
Right.
These are these can be. This is potentially a phone topic that is fraught with danger because you do see on the news, you know, somebody will pull over. A good Samaritan will pull over to help,
mm-hmm.
Somebody on the side of the road who needs a tire changed, and then while they're out there changing the guy's tire or helping, another car comes by him and crushes them.
Well, I mean, I think
that is funny.
I think we probably need to do like we usually do, which is we're looking for funny, humorous stories,
right?
Because
we're not emotionally equipped to handle anything.
Yes.
Else. Yes. So we'll give that heads
up as
well.
That's just why you shouldn't help anybody. I guess that's my point.
I see. Okay. And also Kevin Bacon will be here in studio.
Wow.
City on a Hill.
Yep.
Right?
Right. Oh, the 80s were a good time to be a white cop in Boston.
And the early 90s when the show was set.
Right. Then too.
And it's in New York.
God bought it.
Wouldn't that be? No,
it's
Kevin
not.
Just went, wait,
it is not.
Really?
Okay. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6.
Don't dribble your fribble. Well, that's what we learned this morning. Okay.
I was told not to tell that story again. Why are you bringing it up?
Just can't stop thinking about it.
My Aunt Jane.
Good start to a Wednesday morning. Now, Allie is here to keep it going with what's happening.
I often laugh when we all say, oh, too much TV. Like, to me, no, there's not too much TV. We can have as much TV as possible.
There's too much to keep up with, though.
There definitely is. Yeah. When I think of a show like Stranger Things, we all loved season one of Stranger Things.
Correct.
How many of us have finished season two of Stranger Things?
I never did.
I have not.
I have not either.
It lost me.
I love the show so much, and I was just too busy for season two. That's why when season three just came out on the 4th of July, I was like, oh, man, I have so much to catch up on.
Do you go back and catch up, or you just start with
three? Oh, no, you'd have to go back and catch up. But here's the thing. We're a rarity, because Netflix says Stranger Things 3 has been viewed by more than 40 million households since its July 4th premiere. That's a new record for the streaming service. More than any other film or series in its first 4 days. And 18.2 million have already finished the entire season.
Wow.
That's Dave.
I mean, why? Why are we so busy now for a show that we genuinely love the first season of?
I mean, we did. Because we like other shows as well, and we have lives.
I need you to talk me through why I'm not watching it, I think is what it is.
You're watching other things.
Okay, I'm busy.
Sure.
With other TV shows.
Your life is the most mysterious to explain because you are home at 10:15 every morning, and then you leave your house again at 5 a.m. the next day. So there's a lot of time at home for you to watch TV.
That is very interesting that you believe that.
Well, did your camera in her house stop working?
It does.
It seems like you're static shot.
You're home a lot with time to watch a lot of television.
Allie just put a stand up there, so you think she's there.
Oh, I wonder why she wasn't moving.
Yeah, good times.
And
guys.
She never takes showers anymore. It's so disappointing.
I'm so dirty. You're gross, Bean. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is very gross. Remember when Pink said, "I'm no longer sharing pictures of my children on social media because all the mom shamers and the backlash." She was over it.
Yep.
Well, she posted some photos from a family trip to a zoo in Germany and caught some flack.
Okay, explain the pink.
Okay, so commenters were saying things like, "I'm surprised you go to zoos. Animals shouldn't be in captivity. If it was a sanctuary, that would be different." So Pink responded, "I believe in capturing a child's interest and love for an animal before teaching them about things like captivity. But thank you. The world needed your wisdom today." She then continued to get criticism and said, "Here's the thing. I don't remember asking for your opinion or your help on raising my child. This isn't the place for a debate. Call CNN or call the zoo." Which I don't know what CNN...
What would you say to CNN?
Like, do you think they got inundated with calls? Like, Pink told me to call and talk about the zoo. Like, what's happening then? But then I had to laugh at this. She then continued to share more pictures with her kids. One of them, they're running through water, and she wrote, "Here's a picture of my child running through water. It wasn't even filtered. What a waste of water. And no helmet. I hope she had sunscreen. If she slips and falls, she may be traumatized for life." She then posted a picture of guinea pigs and said, "I would like to point out that there are guinea pigs in captivity here, but they at least go to church like good Christian guinea pigs. Not all Christians are good. I don't want to offend non-good Christians." I feel like Pink is, she's doing funny things and I enjoy it. That's too much. Just disable the comments. This is going to be taking over everything.
Yeah,
like
there are a lot of different opinions on engaging the trolls. It seems like she's gone for it.
You can't win in that battle because there's so many more trolls than you ever could imagine.
And you can't win, as far as I'm concerned, with posting anything about your kid on social media. If you're a celebrity, everyone will have an opinion about every little thing.
Yeah.
When Danielle, Jensen's wife, posted a picture of the crib and cute little name Adler over it, she had to put in the caption, "Don't worry, I'll be taking the stuffed animal out of the crib when Adler gets home." Because people would be like, "Just so you know, as a new mom, you should not put a..." Everybody has an opinion. So I'm saying, for your sake and your sanity, disable the comments, Pink. Disable them. It's especially when people know then that they can poke at you and you'll respond.
Right.
That's a lot of these people's goal. So good times.
Good times.
Did I answer your question, Mr. Larry King? I hope.
I'm sure Larry's satisfied.
Okay. Excellent. Some birthdays for you guys. Sofia Vergara. Adrian Grenier. Grenier. Entourage. Who cares? He hasn't done anything in a while. Jessica Simpson. And that's what's happening.
People are dumb in about a half hour. And then later on this morning, Kevin Bacon joins us in
Kevin
studio.
Kevin Bacon.
What?
Right?
He's so good in everything,
He's
by the way.
He's the good Kevin. He's the only good Kevin.
You
I kind of like him with a mustache, too, by the way.
Oh, I saw an interview with him that said, when you agree to do a show and you're like, yeah, I'll grow a mustache. And then you realize how long you're filming that show. Really, really unfortunate times for Kevin Bacon.
Really? He did not enjoy it as me, the viewer. Huh?
No.
Okay. Guys, we got a problem. I've been saying not in my America, but it turns out Christine Johnson is in Canada. So my outrage...
Plus, you're only in America for another 3 months.
That's true. Sure. Yeah. So my outrage is not going to help this story. But she feels like she's flying when she performs her pole art, Kevin. But this week, moments before she was to take the stage at a festival, her wings were clipped. Let's find out why. Here's the story. From Canadian television.
We're hearing tonight from people who are confused and some are even outraged about the decision to cancel a stage performance at Moncton's Rib Fest. We told you about this yesterday.
By the way, how outraged do Canadians get?
Right?
At a Rib Fest.
Yes, she's playing at a Rib Fest. That doesn't reflect on the quality of her performance. It's just you take whatever gig you can get. And that was what was offered, was the Rib Fest. But it was not to be.
A pole fitness performer says her routine was dropped just minutes before she was supposed to go on stage.
I mean, she was already lubed up and ready to go.
I don't think... No.
This is an athletic thing.
It is pure athletic.
This is not a stripper thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah. She doesn't take any clothes off, unfortunately. I mean, that's a different skill altogether. It's athleticism, right. Mm-hmm. But there are some people, even in Canada, apparently, who... You know, that's just too sexy for them or something.
CTV's Eilish Bonang tonight says she's getting lots of support now from people who just don't get it.
Torn down event signs are the only remnants left of last weekend's Rotary Rib Fest in Moncton. The venue is back to its usual parking lot appearance, but the popular food fest has left behind a bad taste for many residents.
What's our ruling on that pun?
Hate it.
It was a Rib Fest.
By the way, also the posters and whatever, it was a week before this report.
They don't keep those up. I mean, come on.
Right.
It bothered me to see what happened.
Pole artist Christine Johnson was scheduled to perform at the festival Saturday night, but was shocked when her act was canceled just moments before she was to take the stage. She says a member of the Rotary Club of Moncton West and Riverview informed her that her performance was not appropriate for the venue.
By the way, when the Rotary Club comes and tells you you can't play a Rib Fest, your career is not happening.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Now,
what are the chances that that person who said that it was not appropriate had any idea what this was?
Zero.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And why moments before she was supposed to go?
Exactly.
You just noticed that?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, clearly she was booked ahead of time. Somebody must have signed off on it. Right. They saw the pole and they saw her standing there in what they considered scanty attire, which is what you have to wear.
It's like a gymnast outfit.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, how can I say this in an appropriate way?
Well, you can't.
You probably
can't.
Christine Johnson is super hot, you guys.
Okay.
Okay, she's a very talented athlete, and that's not what this is about. But she's crazy hot. She should be stripping, is what I'm saying, first of all. That's where the money
is. Okay, but that's not the story.
That's not the point. I know that's not the point.
Okay.
Second of all, she is not interviewed in this piece, although they show her in the piece. She is not interviewed in the piece. Instead, they talk to her, shall we say, less camera-ready friend.
Which seems like
not the way to win over the crowd, is what I'm saying. I mean, use your best asset. All right, here's Dumpy.
Joanne Dueron is a close friend of Johnson's. She says she allows her 8-year-old daughter to watch her perform and has no issues with pole fitness.
My daughter does not see it in a negative way. She sees it as a sport. She sees it as strength building. So there's nothing negative around it at all for her.
Have you ever tried it, Allie?
Yeah, it's not easy.
It looks like
it takes amazing strength.
You need a lot of upper body strength, and then you get tons of bruises in your hoo-ha region.
Go on.
It hurts. I'm just saying, when you're not good at it, it's a struggle.
I think you have to be a gymnast.
Yeah.
I think you do. Well. I mean, you do see them like horizontally on the pole, like managing to somehow keep their bodies up just by using their upper body strength, which is astonishing. And I think somebody makes that point here in the piece.
Since taking to Facebook to share her experience, Johnson says she's received hundreds of positive comments about her work, support that doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon. With one Facebook user writing, "If the pole ran horizontally instead of vertically, she would be called a gymnast and no one would bat an eye."
I mean, that sums the whole thing up, right? Yeah,
that's very true.
That's exactly what's happening here, yes.
Johnson says she was told one of the reasons she was not allowed to perform was because her costume was not family friendly.
If I were to compare it to, like...
Again, this is her dumpy friend explaining about... Her less camera-ready friend explaining about the costume she wears.
Cycling. So cycling, you have to go really fast. So you need tight shorts. Well, for pole art, pole fitness, you need to wear those types of costumes because you need your skin to touch the pole at certain spots.
I mean, I think we can all agree on that, right?
I'm with her.
Yes.
On that.
Stop it, Canada.
Let me ask you a question, B.
Yes.
Do you think if the less camera-ready friend was doing this, it may have been let through just that she happened to be hot?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like,
in other words, the association is more strongly made between a really attractive woman on a pole being sexual.
I would guess so.
That's interesting. I don't know. You know, there's no way for us to tell.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they didn't let this other lady up on the pole. I'll tell you that.
Oh, jeez. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:52.
Giving away Smashing Pumpkins tickets on this morning's program. You can see them in Irvine, and maybe if you win the grand prize, see them again in Chicago. We'll play some Pumpkins coming up next, along with some Rage Against the Machine and Billie Eilish, too, straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is, remember yesterday we talked about when we were gone over the break, that rash of people going into grocery stores, opening the Bluebell ice cream, licking it, putting it back. Become a real issue.
The ice cream challenge, they're calling it?
Yeah, the threat of liquors now has changed some things with grocery stores. Have you ever seen at a grocery store when they have like the really expensive liquor behind a locked gate?
Yes.
Some grocery stores are doing that now. They're locking the freezer and they've put a button, like a red button, so ring for service. So you now have
everything in a freezer.
You have to get somebody to come and unlock it if you want to get ice cream. Some have even taken more drastic measures, assigning security guards to their freezer departments.
No.
Yes.
How widespread is this ice cream challenge?
I don't know. Similar measures were taken last year after the Tide Pod challenge went viral. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Not
tell
good,
me what you're
going
to do with the Eggo waffles now. Tell me.
Sir, I'm just going to eat them. I want to bring them back for my kids.
I just want to eat them.
Yeah, but we all agree. Whoever's going in and licking things, spitting in food, whatever you're doing, tarred and feathered.
Agreed.
Stone.
I'm
going
to go stone to death. Say murder button. Yeah, murder
Well, stone
button.
To death. And then just to make sure that they're dead,
wait, there's something...
murder them after.
So there's something after stone
just
to death?
Just in case they weren't deathed completely. You murder him.
Okay.
Fair
enough. Sounds like you've worked out that plan.
I have. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. Although, if you think about it, it is creating jobs. If there's a security guy standing there. It's all about the economy, everybody. So, Billie Eilish has taken to Instagram to shoot down rumors that she's about to surprise fans by releasing a new album. She wrote, "The new album, S, is fake. But there's a lot of use. That's why I said it like that. But I might have something for you." And fans are speculating that something could be a new remix of a song, "All the Good Girls Go to Hell," featuring Justin Bieber.
Oh.
All right.
Well, they do seem to be mutual fans.
They have met each other. We saw that happen at Coachella.
How about that?
So we will see about that. I want to play something for you because my friend took her two early teenage daughters to go see Billie Eilish last night at the Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted something on Instagram and I laughed so hard because you can barely hear Billie Eilish singing because it's just the whole crowd.
It's a Billie Eilish is not there?
No, she's singing into a microphone.
Okay, wait. Is this one of those things where occasionally they'll put the microphone out to the crowd?
No. If you look at the video, she's singing into the microphone.
It's just not on.
No, it's definitely on.
Okay.
She is being overpowered by all of the young ladies in the audience.
Well, she's got to stop letting kids come to her concerts.
Right.
But, Bean, didn't you say that you had a very similar experience when you went up to Canada, right, to see her?
I did. Yeah, I saw her a few weeks ago, and it was the exact same thing. Every word of every song just as loud from the crowd as it was from Billie Eilish.
Isn't that
love
crazy?
Her.
I love it when crowds sing, but I'd like to hear the artist.
Like to hear Billie a little
yes.
bit? Yeah.
I would like to.
I don't like the audience singing at all.
I know you don't.
At all. I didn't pay to hear the guy next to me sing. I paid to hear the performer sing.
I think there's something magical about an entire place like that mm-hmm. all at once singing the exact same words. I just think that's fantastic. But because I would like to hear Billie as well.
Because you like humanity.
Yeah.
Bean doesn't.
Okay. I like getting what I pay for.
Yeah. There you have it. There you have it. So Mariah Carey prefers quality over quantity. She revealed in an interview with Cosmopolitan magazine that she hasn't had many sexual partners, in case you're wondering.
No.
But there has been a, quote, variety pack. Not sure what that means. But she said, I've only been with 5 people in my life, so I'm kind of a prude, honestly, compared to most others in the field. And by field, I think she means, like, music or entertainment industry.
Okay.
Mariah, that's low for
teenagers.
Human beings.
That's low for teenagers.
Yes. I don't think Mariah's been like having chats with people.
No.
If she's like,
how old is she? 40s, probably?
Yeah.
That's so. Shockingly low.
Yeah.
For her.
But if you think about it, she married Tommy Mottola very young.
Yes. She was like 18 or 19.
Yeah, that's true.
So she kind of had those years with him when she would normally be having your, you know, you're sowing your oats, finding out who you are kind of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think maybe after you're married for a bit like that, you then don't go back and go nuts.
Right.
And then she married Nick Cannon.
And I'm also going to say, and
she married Nick Cannon.
She married Nick Cannon,
Nick Cannon
could turn you off of sex
forever. Yes,
yeah.
Turn you off of men forever. It also may have been. She's a super. When she got out of a Tommy Mottola marriage, she's one of the most famous people in the world.
Right.
That doesn't exactly lend itself to hookups.
If you're a dude, it sure does.
Yes. Well,
also a diva.
Yeah.
Which may not help either.
Wouldn't you like as a dude? And it's Mariah Carey. Wouldn't you be like, yes, I have something to prove. I'm going to make a woman who's a complete diva so happy. It's like a total challenge. Like, wouldn't you want to please Mariah Carey?
The Mariah Carey challenge?
Yes.
Unless
sweeping the nation. She now has a security guard at a hoo-ha.
I feel like I would be set up for failure for the Mariah Carey challenge. I feel like
okay.
She is, because she is a diva, she has very exacting standards to have things that exist.
It has nothing to do with you, though.
Yes, of course.
It's her standards.
It's her standards.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of hoops to jump through, I think.
Right, okay.
I mean, that's rude. Okay, she only has had sex with 5 people in her life.
I don't mean it like that.
I feel like a hoop is a bad, bad example, you guys.
I feel like she has very specific instructions for you. You know what I mean? Like, she's used to ordering people around and having things done her way. I don't need that.
Okay, so you're out.
Okay.
I think I might be out.
Kevin,
okay.
Where do you stand? You want to give it a go?
I mean, I'm not a fan of the diva, but sure.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'll take a run at it.
See.
For being coach.
I mean, certainly is something. Hey, it turns out that 50 Cent is one of those guys that just celebrates his birthday for a while. He's not one of those, hey, it's my birthday, let's do something tonight. No, no. He's been down in Miami. He was at a Prime 112 with a crew of 20 people on Saturday. Then the next night, he was at a Miami Mega Club Live. And then on Monday night, continuing his 44th birthday, he went to a club called Rockwell, where one superfan surprised him by sending him $10,000 worth of booze.
Wow.
Wow.
And so, I'd be willing to admit or guess that he got paid for each and every one of those
absolutely.
Parties.
Absolutely.
So he's just cleaning up.
You can't be hounding a pimp.
There you have
it. It's true.
Yeah, he showed up around 2 a.m. Everyone knew he was there. They were waiting for him. And he was just handing out glasses of champagne as people were passing by his VIP table. And then he hit the stage. He performed How We Do, Wanksta, 21 Questions, Wake Up, Gangsta, and Down On Me. What? I don't know any of those 50 Cent songs.
Oh, I bet you'd recognize some of them. 21 Questions, you'd definitely recognize. Wanksta, you'd recognize.
I think so, too.
Like,
yeah.
But he should be in the club.
Yeah, why not in the club? I don't know. Like, that's his biggest hit by far.
Why is he?
It's the birthday one.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
And the candy shop.
Yes.
Why is he working at his birthday parties? I guess the answer is because he's getting paid.
He's getting paid.
Most likely, yeah. Good times. All right, guys. Some birthdays for you. We've got Sofia Vergara and Jessica Simpson.
Oh, Jessica Simpson, you mean?
Mother.
That Jessica Simpson?
That Jessica Simpson.
We have your tickets for Comic-Con coming up a little bit later on this hour.
Yeah.
It's time for our annual pilgrimage to the whale's vagina, you guys. Giving away some tickets in about 20 minutes or so, plus actor Kevin Bacon later this morning on K-Rock. First, though, people are dumb.
Dumb.
Man jumps off boat in Shasta Lake to avoid sobriety test.
They'll never find him.
Shasta Lake, California, which is way above Sacramento on about on the 5 freeway. This dude was spending the 4th of July boating there, and he jumped in the water to get out of a sobriety test. Deputy said it happened around 6:15 p.m.
Oh.
I like the people who are already so out of control by 4 or 5, 6 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
On July 4th, the person reported a very intoxicated boat operator at the gas dock. Deputies responded, found the ski boat in question, stopped the boater, 31-year-old Robert Callahan of Oregon. The deputy said, get in my boat, and I'm going to give you a sobriety test. Robert really didn't want to do that, so he took off his hat, and he took off his vest, and he jumped in the water and started swimming.
Okay.
Now, just a reminder, he's drunk.
He's drunk, right, yeah.
Swimming, cops have a boat.
Yeah.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like that's going to help. He gets about 50 yards away and completely is gassed and just can't make it another and just puts up his arm. I need help. I need help.
And so, that's a bad idea.
So the police come and they bring their boat right next to him. Yeah. They bring him on. They give him the sobriety test. He fails it with a .29.
Oh, my.
And then
he's super drunk.
And then he and the boat owner, both who were drunk, were taken to jail.
Good Lord.
But maybe don't jump in the water if the cops have a boat.
Yeah.
Seems like that's a bad idea.
Well, you don't make your best decisions when you're blottoed.
Florida authorities say a 13-year-old Tennessee boy was charged with stabbing his brother. He told investigators he'd rather go to jail than spend 8 hours in the car with his sibling.
I mean, we've all been there.
It was a long... You both said that at the same time.
We have siblings.
Deputies arrested the boy Saturday, charged him with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Investigators say he stabbed his 15-year-old brother 3 times in the arm with a pocket knife.
Oh.
As he was being questioned about the incident, he said, I understand my rights, and I don't regret stabbing my brother because he'd been teasing me. And deputies said the boy told them, I'd rather be in jail than spend 8 hours in the car with my brother.
Wow.
I don't want to pass too much judgment here because we don't know who called shotgun. We don't know who started it. I mean, there's a lot of questions about this road trip.
Well, I mean, it does seem like a misstep to stab someone 3 times.
I feel like maybe someone could have intervened before the stabbing.
Somebody in the front seat, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe an adult?
Possible. A little bit,
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe the brother shouldn't have been an asshole. That's what I'm
saying. Okay, good point.
This story comes out of Sheboygan, and it's a bizarre one. A 35-year-old man was sentenced Monday to 3 years of probation for clogging women's toilets.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean, oh, yeah?
What?
You do that all the time. Patrick D. Beeman was...
I wondered why Omar wasn't here this week.
...was originally charged with 12 misdemeanors of criminal damage to property. He had done this many, many times.
Okay.
And he doesn't do it how you think.
That's why I'm so disappointed in him, by the way. I had so much respect for him. If he was going in there...
If he was building the mountain?
Yes! But he took a shortcut.
Yeah, he apparently would... He was fascinated with finding something that would clog a toilet. In this particular case, it was a plastic bottle that he just jammed in there, and it backed up and went all over the place. And he'd done this. They went and talked to his employer, who was a temp agency, and he said he did the same thing every place he went.
And just a woman's bathroom.
Yes.
Yes. Huh. Isn't that the weirdest?
Yeah, that's a kink.
So bizarre. Yeah, like,
what's the thrill of seeing a toilet overflow with just clean water going everywhere?
Beeman told police he gets urges to do odd things, like look for bottles in the garbage to plug toilets.
Okay.
That's a weird urge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The state only recommended that he receive 30 days in jail as part of his probation. The judge said, no, I'm going to sentence him 30 days for each of the five counts. So he ended up spending 150 days in jail. This one just pretty much only needs the headline. In the Philippines, the city on July 1st of this year has been strictly implementing the no helmet, no travel. You have to wear a helmet on a motorcycle. The headline is, a motorcycle rider was pulled over by the police in the Philippines after his back rider, the guy behind him, was caught using a cooking pot as a helmet on Monday afternoon. Didn't have a helmet.
Okay.
Knew about the law, found a cooking pot, and just said, I'm going to put it on my head.
At least he made an effort.
Yeah. Right? Man breaks into King County Sheriff's Office, smokes a cigar, and offers deputies donuts. It's a very nice story.
There's no crime there, as far as I'm concerned.
A man broke into the King County Sheriff's Office administration space in Fairwood, saying that he needed a preventative jail stint, according to the sheriff's office. A preventative jail stint. The 26-year-old man shattered the storefront's glass window shortly after midnight last week, sat down in the back room where the deputies usually do paperwork, put his feet up, turned on the TV, and lit a cigar.
In other words, he was just waiting to be arrested and put into jail because that's what he wanted. That was his goal.
It was midnight, so he's just waiting until the guys came in on their shift.
Does it say what he was trying to avoid the next day?
It doesn't.
Huh.
When deputies arrived, he said he would rather go to jail for breaking into the storefront than, quote, kill his roommate.
Oh. Okay.
But there's no more further information on what the roommate was doing or why he might.
He just had to get out of that apartment and go someplace where he was. I mean, someplace where he'd be safe, I guess.
Fearing deputies would be mad at him for breaking in, the suspect brought along a peace offering, a fresh box of donuts he just purchased.
I mean, he sounds delightful.
He does. I almost hate to see that guy locked up.
And finally, out of Daytona Beach, Florida, a Daytona Beach man was arrested after being accused of feeding an alligator in his neighborhood pond. Paul Fortin is the guy's name. He was arrested on charges of resisting arrest without violence and refusing to accept a citation. Hmm. Did you know that if they give you a citation, you don't sign it, it's another charge?
I did not.
I didn't know that either. Maybe it's just in Florida? I don't know. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservative Commission said officers responded to his house because somebody called in a tip that this guy was feeding alligators, which, of course, is against the law. So it was the 4th of July. The officers showed up. They said, hey, are you feeding an alligator? And he said, no, I'm feeding turtles. I'm feeding turtles. And they said, oh, that's funny because we have your Facebook post video of you feeding an alligator that you've named.
This is a Facebook video released to News 6 by Florida Fish and Wildlife. They say they used as evidence in their investigation.
And now I want to introduce you to Hank.
This guy, by the way, is my new favorite person.
He's awesome.
He's my alligator.
This has been Paul Fortin's routine for as long as he can remember.
Come on. He's a good boy. He lets me pet him.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's petting the alligator while feeding him. Now, what do you think he feeds the alligator? Like, what would you start with?
Chickens.
Chickens, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
The Daytona Beach man petting the leathery snout of a 10-foot alligator and even feeding it.
But Hank, I mean, what can I do? He just sits there.
Hank is his name.
Mm-hmm.
What's he supposed to do? He just sits there.
Right.
And he loves bagels.
Oh. Hank
Who
loves
could have
bagels.
Seen Hank loving bagels?
I love
did not
that.
See that coming.
Odd.
That was until someone filed a complaint to Florida Fish and Wildlife of him illegally feeding wildlife. Fortin says he hasn't seen Hank swimming, sunning, or poking his head out of the water in a while.
Well, Hank, he was such a good friend.
Weeks after Fortin says investigators came to his home and arrested him, he says he still thinks it's ridiculous.
It's illegal. It's totally illegal to do it.
I love that part.
Like, he's aware.
It's illegal.
Yeah,
I know. I know that.
Yeah.
But Hank,
loves bagels.
Bagels.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Did I know it? Alligators? Yeah, I kind of knew that.
Meanwhile, Fortin says this doesn't change his love for wildlife.
I don't know. Maybe I'm Dr. Doolittle. I don't know.
Oh, I love him.
I love him so much, and this has been...
I just want to... Before we get into this topic, I just want to ask Bean a question.
Mm-hmm.
When most of us were in high school, we either had pictures of beautiful girls or sporting, you know, our heroes, our mm-hmm. sports heroes.
Yes.
On the wall, posters of them on the wall. When Bean was growing up, he had a poster of...
Well, I mean, I had a lot of different things on the wall, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in particular you're looking for?
Yes, the Postmaster General.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Bean.
I did. I had a poster of the Postmaster General.
Like on your ceiling?
No, it wasn't on my ceiling. It was just on the walls. Walls?
Bean.
You had more than one? Well, I had a collection.
You said walls.
Oh,
so yeah. when there's a new Postmaster General, you would add a poster?
If I could get one. I have, look, on many occasions, multiple occasions, I have written to the Postal Service and said, hey, can you send me an autographed photo of the current Postmaster General?
Oh, and they said, this guy's trying to be funny. That's
he's
great.
Trolling, yeah.
That's great.
I haven't done it for Megan yet, but I will at some point. I got a Megan Brennan, obviously, the current Postmaster General.
You don't have to tell us.
Right? I've always admired the U.S. Postal Service, and I think it gets a bad rap because I think the men and women there do incredible work. The fact that I've said this a million times, the fact that I can write something down, Allie, and so can you, and for 55 cents get it to your parents in Maine in 3 days is one of the miracles of the modern world.
It really is, Bean.
55 cents to get it to Maine.
Know. I've got a forever stamp. I don't know how much they are now.
Well, that's how much they are. But okay. my point is, and as I said a moment ago, and we want to hear from you if you work or have worked for the Postal Service. Please call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The point is that I have a potential career change in my future. I never thought I would be at this point. I figured I would just work in radio forever. But with the move to the UK coming later this year, there is a possibility that I may not get on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody may not hire me, even though I've got the accent. They may not give me a job.
Right.
So I still want to work. I am far too young to retire. I'm far too vital to retire.
Sure.
And
you know what vital means.
I thought, what else have I always wanted to do besides radio? And the obvious answer is working for the post office.
Now, I know that Allie and Bean lied to you yesterday about that sound thing.
You were in on that too, Kevin.
But
you were there.
This is true.
This is real.
Bean has always said this.
Yeah.
He's always been amazed that it only cost however many cents to send a letter.
Because it's the best deal in America.
Have the Postmaster General's poster on his wall. This is all real.
We've discussed how going to the post office is all of us. It's a chore. Like, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yesterday, Allie.
You go every single week. I love it.
I try to go multiple times a week, but I actually went yesterday. I didn't have anything to mail. I just had a question about my service. So I went and talked to them.
Did you even have a question, or did you make one up just to hang out?
I'm in line. I need to come up with something. What's a good question?
I did have a question.
Stamps, what's up?
But I went to my post office yesterday and I talked to them, and I was so happy to be there.
Imagine those people behind the counter going,
they're very
oh, here
kind.
He is again.
He's back.
They're
you
very
take
nice.
Him. No, I took him last time. You take him.
Now, Bean, do you want to be a postman, like someone delivering the mail to houses, or mm-hmm. do you want to work in the office? What do you want to do?
Look, I'm excited by the whole I'd be happy to sort the mail, but I think my first choice would be to be a carrier. I think I want to go to work for the Royal Mail and get the outfit and get the little car and actually be able to deliver the mail to people's homes.
But what about wrong one? What about
yeah, what about fainting
what
and
about
stuff?
That?
I think I'm going to be fine.
Okay.
So what's it like being a carrier? I mean, you know, they got the whole, you know, the sun and the heat and the wind and the sand, and I should know that by now, but they got all the things that you have to deliver mail through, and mm-hmm. I am concerned that London does not have the greatest weather year-round.
A lot of rain.
It might be a challenge to deliver mail there. Mm-hmm. But I think I would wake up every day just so stoked to get out there and walk my beat, man. I really do.
They're probably really looking for the plus 80 crowd so that they can find somebody to deliver mail.
Well, why don't we find out about that with my friend Margarita from Long Beach, who is a fellow postal employee.
You're not a postal employee yet.
I will be soon, though. Margarita, okay. How long have you worked for the USPS?
It's about 3.5 years now.
And how do you like it?
You know, the office, it sucks, but once you get out on the street, how you just said, you talk to your customers, you enjoy the weather, It's you throw on a podcast or some music, and
exactly.
It's you're your own boss once you get
out. Can you imagine being, like, stopping and delivering the mail, but realizing you're not home, so just waiting for you to get home? How was your day?
I'm not going to do that.
You're going to do that.
No, but what Margarita is saying is true, is that I didn't even factor that in. Yeah, you get your opportunity to listen to your podcast and everything like that, and you just get out there and get some fresh air and some exercise and meet fascinating people along the route who I bet, Margarita, are very excited to see you when you walk up to their door.
They are the most respectful people. I'm from Anaheim, and I'm an Orange County girl. And so downtown Long Beach is a little bit of a different environment, but The people are so respectful. Call me ma'am. I'm only 36, and I've got people calling me ma'am, mail lady, drawing pictures. So happy to see me.
They're going to call Bean mail lady, too.
Do they ever give you treats? Do they offer you beverages on a hot day?
What is she, a dog?
No, I'm asking if they, like, bring cookies or anything like that for you.
No, you know, it's funny because I feel like I break a lot of the postal rules where they say don't touch the dogs, don't, you know, I know all the dogs on my route and play with them and call them by name.
Oh, fine.
And even they're happy to see me, and it's just, it really is an underappreciated, underrated job.
Thank you.
But it's great.
Thank you so much for calling, Margarita. What I really appreciate it. Guys, what about what Margarita said doesn't sound perfect for me?
It sounds great. Honestly, Seriously. It sounds great.
It sounds terrible for everybody that you're delivering mail to, though.
That is true.
Hey, Muggs was invited, Kevin. He's allowed to be in the studio.
We discussed this.
Okay. He's allowed to be here.
All right.
Allie, you were telling us a couple of days ago that the first Comic-Con, 50 years ago in San Diego, drew 100 people.
Yeah.
It's
very different.
It's grown since then.
A little bit different. Yeah, they average about 130,000 now. So a little different.
We are going to add to that number right now with a pair of passes to San Diego Comic-Con at the San Diego Convention Center next weekend, July 18th through the 21st. Kevin and Bean, don't forget, are going to be broadcasting live from Theater Box, home to the all-new TCL Chinese Theater in San Diego on the Thursday and Friday of next week. What's this game called, Kevin?
Beer Mug Theater.
Woo! Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It is I, Jonathan Beer Mug Cantrell. And today, I will be showcasing the greatest acting that this generation has ever seen. For I am the greatest thespian that ever roamed these halls. A little demonstration for you. Oh. You want me to do, let's say, Popeye? Well, then I would go,
well, blow me down.
So now, without further ado, it is time for Beer Mug Theater.
That's the one... example that you're going to put in there?
That's the one example.
All right.
By the way, that's
what are you doing?
That's
in that
a
intro.
Real British accent right there, Bean.
Oh, that's what that was. British.
That's how it's done.
That was British?
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to be doing a scene from a superhero movie, right?
Yes.
And the caller just needs to tell us who's speaking.
Yes, I'll be doing a scene, and you'll have to identify the superhero in the movie. And just to give you a little hint, they're from superhero movies in the past 20 years. So we're not going too far back. So they're
okay.
All right.
So, yep.
Let's start with Hector in Orange. Good morning, Hector.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, prepare to be blown away by Beer Mug Theater and tell us who's speaking. Here's Muggs.
All right, and before I end it, like a true thespian, I will be ending every scene with "and scene." So you'll know
nice.
It's over.
Okay.
Here we go. Dr. Erskine said that the serum wouldn't just affect my muscles. It would affect my cells, create a protective system of regeneration and healing, which means I can't get drunk. Did you know that? And scene.
Captain America, first Avenger.
Yeah! Captain America is correct.
Create a protective system of regeneration.
How about that?
That is legit. Hector, well done. I would not have gotten
one. One nice for job, one. Nice. All right. Robert in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
What's up, Robert? You there?
Yes.
Hello. All right. You ready for this? All right. Just to give you a little heads up, Robert, I'm going to be replacing the villain that the superhero is referring to with my name in the scene. Okay? So don't get thrown off.
Because it would give away who
it
is.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Here we go.
It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. I want the beer mug. Where is he? He must have friends. Someone knows where he is.
And scene.
That is the Dark Knight Batman.
Yeah!
Look at that.
He even it's not who knew. I am underneath, but what I do that defines me.
He knew which Batman.
He did.
I'm telling you, they wasted their money paying Christian Bale his fee when Beer Mug was available.
Right? Great. Let's go to Brandon in Anaheim. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing?
Welcome to Beer Mug Theater. Good luck.
All right, here we go, Brandon.
Cool.
I see flashes. I think I had a life here, but I can't tell if it's real. I've been fighting with one arm behind my back. What happens when I'm finally set free? Tell the Supreme Intelligence that I'm coming to end it. The war, the lies, all of it. And scene.
Ooh, that would be Captain Marvel?
Yeah! Yes!
Supreme Intelligence that I'm coming to end it.
How about that? Look
That's
at
impressive.
That.
All right, three dudes through so far. All are in the running to win the tickets for San Diego Comic-Con, but I'm sure we'll have a lady calling any moment now.
Sure. Good morning, Art.
Yeah. Hootie, hootie
nice.
You. It's Beer Mug Theater. We're playing for Comic-Con tickets to get you in the drawing. Listen up and then tell us who Beer Mug is doing here.
All right, Art. Here we go.
Smash you! I smash you! Don't kick stuff, you bad friend! I'm sorry! I just get so angry all the time!
And scene.
If you don't get this, Art, we're going to come to your house and beat you up.
That would be the Hulk.
That yes. would be the Hulk, yes.
Smash you! I smashed you!
I know we're technically out of time, but this is so much fun, I don't want to stop.
Yeah, right?
Keep going.
Ever. Dan in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I mean, no pressure, but 4 for 4 so far.
Yeah, I'm 0 for 4 right now.
All right. Oh, man. You are not going to get this one, then.
All right. Good luck, Dan.
No. I asked for the Hulk, but I would have gotten. So 1 for 4 okay. I would have been. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Here we go, Dan. Here, listen up. Tell you what. Do a weather and ATC check. Start listening in on ground control. Jarvis, sometimes you got to run before you can walk. And scene.
Man, I know that Jarvis is a good hint there. I'm just gonna say Ant Man because I'm totally clueless.
I'm sorry, that was Iron Man.
Ground control, Jarvis. Sometimes you gotta run before you can walk.
All right, let's not go out on a loser like Art. Let's do one more.
Let's go to Cher. How do you say your name?
Cher
in Ontario.
A lady.
Hi, Cher.
We do have a lady. Hi. Okay, good. All right. Here's Beer Mug. Good luck.
All right, here we go, Cher.
Okay.
There's a superhero in all of us. We just need the courage to put on the cape. It's not an S. On my world, it means hope. And scene.
How will she ever get
Superman.
This?
Superman.
Yeah.
Superman
yeah.
is correct.
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
Beautiful. That's a great place to end it. Cher is in the drawing along with... Oh, I guess Art did make it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, it was the caller after
yes,
him
yes,
caller
yes,
after
yes,
that
yeah.
disappointed us. Brandon and Robert and Hector as well, they're all in the running. Only one can win the passes for San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center next weekend. Miss Alan McKay, who's going?
Well, Hector is going.
Hector!
Yeah.
Congrats. Woo-hoo! Congrats. Enjoy Comic-Con and thanks for playing
Hector.
The game.
And yet again, more proof that I am the greatest thespian that ever roamed these halls. That was... Beer Mug.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Beer Mug is very talented, you guys.
Right?
I mean, I know he screwed up the podcast yesterday, and, you know, Fire Beer Mug was trending again. You know, he's just on our feeds. But he's a really talented dude.
I mean,
it's weird
he's
that
talented.
You're reminded of this, like, weekly, so
yes.
you think you'd remember it.
No.
Yes. No?
Our view of him is... He's right on the line.
No, yeah. It shouldn't be.
He's a very marginal employee.
Correct.
And human,
no.
Is how I think of him. And then every once in a while, like once a week, he surprises me, and I realize what a talented dude he is.
He's a complete utility player. He can do everything.
I'm saying let's not fire Bierbach.
It's a great idea.
Till tomorrow when Bean forgets this.
Yes.
You tried to do something nice for someone, and it backfired on you. That's the topic. We're going to be looking for your calls coming up right after the top of the hour. And the great Kevin Bacon joins us at 9. So a lot of good stuff on the way here this morning on K-Rock. Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
Okay, I want to get this out of the way before Kevin Bacon comes in, because I don't want our Kevin just being upset the whole time.
I mean,
so now he's got a little bit of time.
I mean, it's been a couple hours.
Yeah. Warner Media announced yesterday that they now have a title for their streaming service. It will be called HBO Max and launch in the spring of 2020. Here's where the anger comes in, Kevin. They're going to have exclusive rights to all the episodes of current Netflix favorites like Riverdale, Pretty Little Liars, and Friends. Oh my God, Kevin.
Friends.
People are losing their minds.
Does this mean they're going to have a reunion? Is that what this means? Is there going to be a Friends reunion? Please tell me there's a Friends reunion.
Here's what I don't understand. There are two things I
don't
understand.
Is there a Friends reunion?
About this story.
No one's answering my question.
Number one is, what's the connection between Warner Media and HBO? Like, why are they calling it HBO Max?
Great question.
She just said Friends.
Oh, okay. Bless you.
That's thing one. And thing two is, how much can people be losing their minds about a show that is literally on five channels five times a day? If you want to see Friends, there's almost not a time that you can't turn on your television and see Friends.
I have heard from people that say that they turn on Friends and The Office, and that's how they fall asleep. They
have
it on.
Well, they should try sex.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting that from you.
That was a lot right there. All right. Well, the platform will also be home to some TV series that have been harder to find on streaming platforms, like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So if you weren't going to buy it just because Friends moved over.
Well, who isn't?
They're going to have The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Here's some tape from a great man and TV critic who one time said,
there's not enough no! Why is everyone so obsessed with Friends? I don't get it! Come on! Every single cover of People Magazine and Us Weekly, stop it!
All right, I'm done.
I wasn't prepared for that.
Come on now.
I mean, that's a lot right there.
I'm with that guy.
Yeah, Kevin, that morning, you were a purple I've never seen. There was a vein in your forehead that I was like, where is that even coming from?
This has been brewing a long time.
You were really angry. And
it's
that's
just been driving me crazy.
But didn't you see Jennifer Aniston and Courteney Cox had drinks the other night, Kevin? What if that means a Friends reunion?
That's what drives me crazy.
Everything is a possible Friends reunion. Right. It's insane. Well, I don't know if you've been seeing it, but Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston have been teasing something for weeks.
All right.
So people were speculating, oh my God, it's this long rumored Breaking Bad movie. It's happening, you guys. Oh, this is so exciting. Nope. Turns out the surprise collaboration is actually mezcal. Paul revealed the collaboration on Instagram yesterday. Apparently, they were at a sushi bar a few years ago, having drinks, talking about how they really want to work together again. Mm-hmm. What can they do? And then they came up with this drink. So people are really mad. They're really mad because they really thought that they were going to be announcing a Breaking Bad movie.
Sure.
Just a delicious beverage. So,
yeah, your expectations weren't met in that case.
Right.
If they had
outrage?
If you had just come out of nowhere and said, hey, we're introducing a new brand, people would have been, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But they made it look like they hyped it up as
weeks
if it were going to be more.
Of teasing. Yeah.
Where's the outrage there?
Which, I mean, like, you don't troll your fans. That's awful.
Right? Who would do that?
Who would do something like that?
Only terrible people.
It's just mean, you guys. I know you did People Are Dumb and we did Animal Stories yesterday. Can I combine two of those things with this story?
Please.
A man accompanied by his cat made himself at home after breaking into an Oregon residence on Sunday by trying on a woman's Christmas onesie, eating a cupcake, and then made coffee.
Wait, he brought his cat into her house when he broke in?
Yeah.
The homeowners told police that they returned home, noticed some damage and items that didn't belong to them. They found a cat wearing a shirt in the crawl space beneath their house. Then when officers arrived to try and retrieve the cat, the man wearing the owner's Christmas onesie emerged from the crawl space. Turns out that was a 38-year-old man named Ryan Bishop and his cat named Spaghetti.
I have no problem with any aspect of this story.
I mean,
you're fine with breaking and entering
into the house with his cat, finds a Christmas onesie in the dryer, puts it on, and then says, you know what? I'm going to have a cupcake. You know what goes great with a cupcake? Some coffee. I'm going to make some coffee. I love everything.
I can't see any of us doing anything differently in that situation.
By the way, police said that the homeowner did decline the return of her onesie after the suspect was arrested. He can keep it, right?
Why was it in the washer now?
In the dryer.
Dryer now.
Oh, I have a Santa robe that I still wear.
Okay.
So, asked and answered.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's soups counts. Some birthdays for you. Sofia Vergara, Adrian Grenier. Grenier? I still don't know. I still don't care, right?
I think it's
Grenier?
I think it's Grenier.
Grenier?
I think so.
It should be.
So let's just say that.
But then LaCroix should be LaCroix, but it's
we're not
pronounced
talking about
LaCroix.
That word.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
He's a D-bag from Entourage. Plus, Jessica Simpson.
I'm just a white girl who can't dance. I can only push my tush.
Remember when Bean killed that bird?
Yes.
No, come on.
Just malicious,
that
right?
That is an unfair
Bean
representation.
Hates birds.
Yeah, he woke up that morning. He's like, I feel like murdering some birds.
That's not what happened
so
at all,
weird.
You guys. Come on. We want to talk about the topic on the table here is you tried to do something nice and it backfired on you. And I'll get to the bird example in a second, but we're opening up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. It's kind of like you let somebody go ahead of you at the grocery store, you know, because the person behind you only has a couple of items. So you say, hey, I've got a big cart. You go ahead and go ahead of me. And then the checker closes down the register right after that person, and then you're stuck. You got to go fight another line. You know, you're just trying to do a courtesy, and it comes back and it bites you in the butt.
I feel like the bird example was a good one.
Well, I know. I'm just priming the pump here for the bird example.
See, I thought you would have said you let the person go ahead of you, and then all of a sudden the balloons drop from the ceiling, the tuba player comes out, because that's the 100,000th person to come through that line, and they won $1 million.
Only a tuba player?
Just a tuba. They couldn't afford more, because they're giving so much money away.
By the way, that's another great example, is you're just being nice by letting the person with two items go ahead of you, and look what happens. Look what ends up happening.
Let's say that your neighbor has a rooster.
Uh-huh.
And it, come on.
And it keeps you up.
Okay.
Look. So you tell your neighbor in code, you need to take care of the rooster.
Neighbor
takes care of the rooster.
Yeah.
The rooster dies.
You had your neighbor off the rooster.
That's not what I intended at all.
It was like a mob hit that you're the one that called it.
I was looking for some way that the goddamn rooster wouldn't crow around the clock.
You found one.
Yeah, doesn't anymore.
All right. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. A good deed backfired on you, but here's what happened with the bird most recently. We had a family.
The most recent bird death because of Bean.
We had a family of juncos that were born in a flower pot on my front porch, okay? You know what a junco is? They're adorable, tiny little birds. And the mom built a nest, and she had her four little pups.
I'm sure they were pups.
Kittens? What are they called? What do you call the
baby birds?
Baby
birds.
Okay, we'll go with baby
birds. Let's go with pups.
So she had the four little baby birds there, and they just couldn't have been any cuter. And I and my wife did the research on it. It was really more her project than it was mine. But she found out that they really grow quickly, and they're out of the nest in about 8, 9, 10 days.
A chick?
Yes. So they go from being born with their eyes closed and no feathers or anything like that to growing very fast and teaching themselves how to fly and get out of the nest. Mm-hmm. So we were checking on them every day. We were doing everything we could to make sure they stayed safe. I mean, we put up a barrier around the pot so that the raccoons couldn't get
them.
What
the hell kind of time do you have in your life?
Well, we want these birds to be healthy and successful.
Let's hear
right?
the rest of the story.
Okay, so here's what happened. So we were out there checking every day, and one by one, these little little birds got their nerve to fly out of the nest and go off and live a life and be birds, right? The last day that I checked, there was one bird left. Okay, mm-hmm. One little bird by himself in the nest. He had not taken flight yet.
And you said, now, you're a loser.
I didn't yell
you
at the
yelled
bird.
At the bird.
I didn't. I didn't touch the bird. Mm-hmm. All I did was push back the flowers around the nest so that I could see the nest. That's all I did.
Is, so you disturbed his home.
Well, I didn't
certainly
touch
his cover.
Right.
I didn't touch him or anything like that.
Right.
I just,
but you took away all the cover for any other animal that might be able to see
I
that
moved
bird.
Aside the plant so I could check on my little baby Junko.
Wow, and at check that your privilege.
Right.
At that moment, I guess he got startled because he decided, I got to get out of here now. So whether he was planning on flying that day
or not. He wasn't planning on flying that day, Pete.
He decided he needed to fly.
So you startled him, and he prematurely jumped out of the...
He committed suicide is what happened. I don't think he committed suicide. I think his plan was, all right, my brothers and sisters are gone. I should be able to do this. I can't be scared anymore because something's happening. I mm-hmm. need to get out of this nest now. Stat, okay? So he flew out of the nest and went about 6-8 feet or something like that.
Oh, good 6 feet.
And landed
on the sweet
the
6 feet.
Best, the best and, ever.
And landed on the patio.
Oh.
And 1 second later,
mm-hmm.
a huge bluebird swept out of the sky out of nowhere and picked up that little Junko who'd been on his own for 4 seconds. And carried him off to certain death.
Bean.
Had you not disturbed the bird's cage, whatever it was in, nest,
home.
Had you not disturbed that, perhaps that other bird wouldn't have seen it?
There's no question that other bird wouldn't have seen it.
Okay.
And there's look, my little guy, my little Junko, mm-hmm. was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He wasn't. Until you put him there.
There's no way I could have expected that there would be a predator who would be on the lookout for a tiny little bird that he could pick up and make his... by the way, I didn't even know birds were cannibals. The last thing I expected was to see this... I see birds all the time, like swooping down and picking up clams and things like that. I didn't know birds killed other birds for food. I had no idea that was a thing.
Maybe it was just for fun.
You see a lot of birds picking up clams?
I do, yes.
Really?
I do.
Where are you hanging out?
So this bird, though, his entire life outside of the nest was like 4 seconds.
Yeah, it was quick.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
I could not have felt any worse. I know it wasn't my fault. Intellectually, I know it wasn't
my
fault.
Okay, but hold that for a second.
Just take us through it. When it's happening and you see him flying away, what are you doing? Did you yell like, hey, drop the bird?
I don't think he speaks English. I don't think that bird spoke English.
Okay.
But I will say that the Junko's mother appeared out of nowhere and took off after the bluebird. But the mother is a 20th of the size of the bluebird. Mm. So there was no way that fight was going to end well. There's no way that baby survived is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I couldn't feel any worse. At least I
didn't
think.
Well, you shouldn't have killed it.
At least I didn't
feel
think
bad.
I could feel any worse until I came in today and you guys made me relive that. Because all I'm trying to do is put that out of my mind. But it was awful.
Murder.
It was me trying to do the right thing, trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Just checking on my bird. That's all I was doing. And then, boom, gone.
We'll take your stories. You tried to do something nice and it backfired. 1-800-520-1067. You could also text that same number with a story if you have that.
Can we talk to Jan real quick before
sure.
the break?
Sure,
all right.
Sure.
Jan is on line 3, joining us from Pasadena. Hey, Jan.
Hi.
Hi there.
What's up?
I'm a terrible storyteller, so I'll try to make this brief. And nothing resulted in death.
Okay. Oh, good. That's a good start.
At Southwest Terminal at LAX, it was summertime. All these families are traveling together. Everybody's crazy about getting on the airplane. I didn't need to be in St. Louis till the evening. So I thought, okay, I'll give up my seat because the next flight was in an hour. So I was happy to do that. So all these families are on the flight. I had already boarded. They made me come back. So I get to Chicago, and then they unload that flight, and somebody needed medical assistance. It wasn't an emergency. They just needed help getting off the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So it delayed all of us getting off, and then I missed my next flight.
Oh.
And then I got put on, yes. So So I started out trying to help other people. Then I got put on a standby, and there were no flights. And it ended up being almost 24 hours later.
And now you live in Madison, Wisconsin.
I was just trying to be nice to all these other families. It was fine.
It's nice it's nice that they put you on a standby list for flights that didn't exist.
Exactly. And they did, however, I will give Southwest, I'd like a shout out to them. They did give me a $549, and I don't know how they arrived at that amount of money for a voucher, because my flight didn't cost that much, but she gave me this voucher to help, you know, make the pain better.
All right.
And I looked at her and I said, $549? Are you kidding me? And she said, just be quiet and take it.
Wow.
Well, you're a very nice lady, and I'm sure those families that were able to get on that plane ahead of you appreciated it, even though it didn't work out the way you hoped.
Oh, it's okay. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Jan. You sound nice. 1-800-520-1067. You tried to do something nice. It backfired. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of the 1975, let's take one phone call. Veronica, you tried to do something nice, and it backfired.
Yes.
What happened?
So I came home from work, you know, long day at work, want to relax, and I go and look in my backyard, and there's a baby duck in the pool, just swimming, just all alone, little baby duck, and it's tiny, and I didn't even realize ducks flew, believe it or not. So I was like, oh, my God, what do I do? This baby duck's in the pool. Like, I don't know what to do. So I got on the phone, called a bunch of animal sanctuary places, found a place, drove it there, came back home, felt like a hero. And the mama duck was on the diving board looking for the baby.
Veronica!
You're separating families at the border. That's what you're doing.
Oh, no.
I know. I was going to go get it back, but they said she wouldn't touch it after it was, you know, taken away,
Veronica,
and contaminated.
You broke up that duck family.
I know. I felt terrible.
And you didn't even know ducks could fly, which is a much greater concern of mine.
I didn't know how it got in the pool. I mean, thought the duck could fat to
just as
fat.
Easily
how
get
they
out
fly?
Of the pool. Okay.
I love you, Veronica.
Never stop being Veronica. Thank you for the call. We'll take your calls coming up next on the World Famous K-Rock. I'm just saying that bird may have been swept out of the sky by the bluebird anyway. It may have had nothing to do with me.
Well,
I mean, was just wrong place, wrong time is what I'm saying.
But it wasn't on its own time. It was on your time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you killed it.
I don't look at it that way. But we are talking about you tried to do a good deed and it backfired on you. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why bother being a good Samaritan if that's the way it works out, right?
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Let's go with Tiffany, please. She is on line 3, Long Beach, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Tiffany.
Morning. Hi.
Hi. You tried something nice and it backfired. What happened?
Oh, really, really super bad. So I work as a personal trainer, and I was working with this senior couple. They're not exactly elderly, but they're up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were using one of the assistant machines, basically.
Yes.
And I showed them how to do a maneuver, how to get on, how to properly get off. That's the key phrase.
Getting off
the machine.
Which machine?
It was an assisted pull-up machine.
Okay. All right.
So, like, you have, like, the knee pad to help pull you up, push you up as you're doing the pull-up.
Wow. Knee pads, getting off. A lot happening at this gym, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Go ahead.
So, showed her how to do it. The wife did the complete opposite of what I told her to do.
Women don't listen.
So she took the knee pad all the way straight down to the floor, still kneeling on it, okay, mind you. So she proceeded to take one leg off, and then she leaned forward. So I can instantly tell, like, the moment she takes that second knee off, that knee pad's going to slam her right in the face.
Oh,
like,
no.
It's going to go fast, right?
So how did you save
the
day?
I'm like, so I literally jumped in. I stepped on the pad with my foot. And I said, no. And so she pulled back before I could put my full weight on the knee pad to stop it, because I outweighed it. So the knee pad literally took my leg, completely skyrocketed up, twisted my knee. I heard a pop. So now I'm going to the doctor, and they're saying, well, you might have a torn meniscus.
Yes.
Oh, woohoo. No.
That's good, right?
No, you don't want to talk
not
about
good.
This.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not good because now my knee is in a brace. I have to chase a 13-month-old baby around the house by myself because my husband's in the military. So it's like a win, not so win situation.
I got you. Gotcha. This is what did I say? Don't be a good Samaritan. Don't try to
no,
help.
No, that's not what we're saying at all.
Thank you, Tiffany. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Nick. He's up next. Line 4, Chino.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So my story's pretty quick. A couple years ago, me and my buddies, we went to Fenway, or literally Boston, to catch a Yankees-Red Sox game. And as we're walking down Yankee Way, it's kind of like Skid Row down in downtown L.A.
Are you offended by this, Ellie?
It is not like Skid Row.
Yes, it is. Well, when you're wearing a Lakers jersey, it kind of is. So I kind of brought that on me. So okay. Anyway,
a really nice area, first of all.
Well,
with
for Boston,
zero...
it's nice for Boston.
Okay.
I feel like this is Nick's story.
Not when you have Yankees and Red Sox there on a Friday night, people are kind of angry. But long story short, as we were walking up, there was a wider guy, with his buddy, asked us where we were sitting. And we told him we were sitting, you know, about six rows behind, upper view, kind of what you would call a top deck at Dodger Stadium.
Right.
But up there, they had bench seating, not stadium seating. So he asked if we would swap tickets. We looked at his tickets, and he was like four or five rows behind the Yankees dugout. So we're like, oh, sweet. This is a win.
Yeah, so he gets a little bit more room because he's a bigger dude. You get better seats. Perfect.
We lost. They were fake.
Well, I'm sorry? The tickets that you got were fake?
Yeah, they got burned.
Sucks to be you, Nick.
Ellie is not finding sympathy for you.
Not even.
Well, sorry, guys. Have a good day, guys.
No, you too. Thank you.
It's all right, Nick. Thank you for calling.
We're still cool, right, Nick?
We just crushed Nick. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Look, we don't lay down a lot of laws on this show. It's pretty loosey-goosey. But I just want to say... nobody screw up this what's happening because mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon's in the next room and he's probably listening.
Okay.
So let's all be on our best behavior. Let's not say anything dumb. Kevin, don't be racist.
What?
All right? Let's not embarrass ourselves.
Now we can't be racist?
Because we've got a superstar joining us just after 9 o'clock here on K-Rock. Allie, take it away and don't screw it up.
Kevin was basically just a character on this show. Sitting on a hill.
Yeah.
Because you just said, oh, now we can't be racist.
True.
Like, that's kind of the point of the whole show.
Pretty much. Sure.
Right?
True. Yeah.
So, Kevin, time. You're a lot like Kevin Bacon is what I'm saying.
I am very much like Kevin Bacon.
Didn't you say earlier that he's the only good Kevin?
I can't think of any other good ones.
No.
Kevin Costner? I think you would like Kevin Costner.
Okay. But, I mean, then you got Kevin from The Office.
And yeah, they are few and far between. That's
most
true.
Kevins in media are not great.
I mean, you got Kevin Federline on your side, so you're good.
True story. All right, you guys, I need everybody to go to @KevinandBean on Twitter and tell me who this man is. If you've seen the meme, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I describe it. It's a man that they zoom in on. And he just nods at the camera, like a slight nod.
Oh, I know who that is.
Of course I know who that is.
Okay, wait. Kevin, who do you think it is?
Zach Galifianakis.
Okay. And Bean, who do you think it is?
It's obviously the great Robert Redford from the film Jeremiah Johnson.
All right.
What?
Kevin, look at it again.
Which is a super famous movie and a super famous role from an incredibly famous actor.
Not a super famous movie and not a super famous role.
Yes,
a very famous actor. But I will tell you this, nodding meme guy was the talk of the internet yesterday because I'd say only people over 50 knew that it was Robert Redford.
Wow.
I never thought it was Zach Galifianakis.
Did somebody like Photoshop to give him Zach Galifianakis' hair?
No, that is taken from the movie.
Wow.
Jeremiah Johnson.
He lives in the wilderness. Yeah, he's a, you know, he's a hippie basically living out in the wilderness.
So my friend tweets yesterday, I just found out this is Robert Redford. And I'm like, no way. And then I started looking at some of the comments and the majority of younger people thought it was Zach Galifianakis, who I didn't think that.
I didn't even have a question about
that.
Yeah,
no, that was right on. I thought it was like a Grizzly Adams, Swiss Family Robinson guy from the 70s, but I couldn't pinpoint who it was. I send that meme constantly to people.
And you didn't know?
Zero idea.
Oh, my God.
Zero
Although
idea.
You watched The Godfather and didn't recognize Al Pacino, too. So
I had to Google that was indeed Al Pacino. Maybe I have that facial recognition problem. I don't know.
I'm shocked by this. Wasn't Robert Redford just in the Avengers Endgame?
Well, Don't people recognize him from that? He doesn't even look... He looks like thick Robert Redford. It's like, yeah, looking thick, dude. He's like... Like, he's like a big mountain man here.
He looked like Robert Redford in that movie. In this movie you're talking about, Endgame, he looked like Robert Redford.
Yeah, he just looks like a thick, hot grizzly guy. Okay. I mean, I'd be into him. I gotta stop saying thick. It's weird.
It's a weird
word. Gotta stop. But a lot of people, Kevin, were on your side.
100% Zach Galifianakis.
See,
wow, that's crazy.
I just thought some dude, but people...
This is so shocking to me.
Okay, wait, let me
Bean,
just,
I'll tell you
let
this.
Let me just say, Bean got it.
Yes.
I thought it was Zach Galifianakis, and you're saying that everybody is on
either side
except you.
Well, I thought it was like a Grizzly Adams.
It's just
I just thought he was some guy from Grizzly Adams-ish movie.
The truth of the matter is
chips with me. Okay, all
right. The truth of the matter is, you're right. He was one of the most popular movie stars in the world, but 50 years ago. I mean, he was in
like the Robert Redford that you think of, like the hot, young Robert Redford.
All the President's Men, Robert Redford.
No, this is, like I said, thick, Grizzly Adams Robert Redford.
Stop saying the word thick.
I will say this. So my friend Stephanie is one of the ones that made this Twitter moment where people were like, I had no idea. And then I texted the meme to my friend and I said, do you know who this is? She goes, yeah, it's the guy on the salad dressing bottles. And I was like, I need new friends. Three of us are the worst people.
That's Paul Newman.
That's awesome.
What I'm saying
is, I am shocked by this.
Yeah, go to @KevinandBean and tell us.
And look at Zach Galifianakis.
Tell us who you think it is. I have no idea.
That's crazy.
I liked that movie too, Jeremiah Johnson.
Well, that had a lot of people talking about the movie yesterday, and I was shocked at how angry people were getting. Like, they were saying things like, oh yeah, I knew immediately who it was by his face. It's Robert Redford. I know what his face is. Okay, get over yourselves. Again, it's like a thick Grizzly Adams.
Okay, you got it. Seriously, we're going to ask you to
leave. Okay. Do you think that Kevin
Bacon
left?
He said we're going to ask you to leave.
Kevin Bacon left?
Probably.
He's like, this just got weird. These people...
I'm getting ready to leave.
Don't. Please don't. You guys, what's your favorite Kevin Bacon movie?
It's almost impossible to guess because he's been in 10 like bona fide all-time greatest movies ever. But if I had to pick one just off the top of my head, I'd say Apollo 13.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
I love, love, love that movie. But then you say that and then you go, well, what about A Few Good Men? You know what I mean?
What about Mystic River?
What about Mystic River, which was incredible.
Want to know my favorite? And this is long before I knew he was coming in. Over vacation, I started talking about my favorite John Hughes movies.
Oh, She's Having a Baby.
She's Having a Baby is my top five of John Hughes movies.
What about the...
Oh, when the Kate Bush song comes on. And,
yeah, he was great. Oh. What about the hilarious The Woodsman, though?
What?
If you knew that movie, that would have really been funny to you.
Okay.
It is the darkest, most somber movie ever.
All right.
It's true.
Sorry, we were a bad audience for you there.
Yeah, I deserved better than that. You can't. It's hard to pick. You can't pick. He's been in too many great things.
Was he in Jeremiah Johnson?
He wasn't. That was just Bob Redford. Sorry.
Okay. And he was not the guy on...
The salad dressing.
No. Right.
Not him.
And not the guy from The Hangover.
Right. Mr. Bacon is in the elevator right now. We do have one chance to pull him back if we get out of the segment now.
All right. Happy birthday, Sofia Vergara and Jessica Simpson. And
I don't work out. I have a high metabolism. It's really hard for me to gain weight.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, Jessica.
Is it fair to call Kevin Bacon a superstar? Am I overstating it if I say you're a superstar, Kevin?
Yes, you're overstating it.
I feel like I'm not. I feel like you've deserved it, man. I feel like you've been a great actor since I was a little kid.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'll take the great actor part. You know.
Yeah, he was not basically saying though. You were old is what I got from
that. That's what I got from that, too. That was insulting.
You know, there's certain things that sound good, but at a certain point you get tired of them. Like, he's a solid actor. You know?
Or he's been in a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He gave a workman-like performance.
Workman-like, yes. Yeah. He's an actor's actor. What the
hell? Yeah. I'm just saying you have entertained me and millions of others around the world since freaking Animal House, and we are delighted to have you here on the Kevin
Bacon
Show.
Thank you very
much. Kevin Bacon.
We really are. Happy to be here.
Kevin is here for, among other things, he has a fantastic series going on Showtime right now. And the beautiful thing about the digital age in which we live is you can jump on a show at any time. Like, we're four episodes in already, but you can go back and pick up from the beginning and get caught up. So
sure, that's so, the way some people, I've talked to people that have told me they're not watching. They don't wait, you know, friends of mine that don't want to watch. They want to wait until they can binge it. Like, because that becomes like such a...
That's wow. a thing
Yeah,
now.
It's a weird thing. It's
I don't know that I could wait that long before... If you're that interested to binge it, I don't think I would have the patience to go, okay, we're four episodes in. I don't know what's happening, but...
I know, I'm with you. I like to see things, but anyway, you know, that's some. It is a new part of our consuming culture sure. that people spend the weekend just engrossed in one world, and, yep. and then they move on to the next one.
Have you already binged Stranger Things 3 yet, Kevin?
It's on my list.
It's on your list?
No, I haven't seen that.
Allie, what was the number you gave us earlier? How many people watched all of it?
40 million watched it within the first 4 days that it came out.
Amazing.
Netflix released that number. And then I think 18 million have already finished it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
The business has changed so much, Kevin. I know that we're many years past the quality of TV versus movies. Obviously, they're equal now. Mm-hmm. Do you consider that at all when you are thinking about what your next project is? Like, when you commit to a city on a hill, it's like doing five movies in a row playing this same character, right?
Yeah. So, first off, you know, you point out that the business has changed, and one of the things that's changed about it is that there's a great sort of income disparity between the a few giant movies that are made by studios, which are comic book movies, and then a whole bunch of super, super low budget kind of indies, and not a lot of stuff in between. And mm-hmm. it's the in between where probably with the type of actor and the type of career that I've had, where if in the movies, that's kind of where I would land. So
you're a solid actor.
Yeah, I'm solid actor, right? Exactly. So television is the place where I can go to find the kind of parts that are like the part that I'm playing on City on a Hill. And the other piece of it that's interesting is that when you look at a movie script, you say, okay, I get a chance to do A, B, C, D. I've got, this amount of scenes and I see this many colors in the character. And some of them may go, right? They may get edited out or taken out.
Some of those colors or whatever
part. Yeah, some of those colors. Yeah. Maybe they decide, well, we don't want to see his big love scene or his crying scene or his drunk scene.
Enough of your ass.
But, in a series, you have a chance to really explore a character over in this case, 10 hours of content.
So it's 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. How long did you film it?
Oh, gosh. I guess it took us about 6 months.
You had that mustache for 6 months.
I did. I was
it's
over
a pretty sweet stash.
But you started rethinking it. I know. I saw interviews where you were like, I thought it would be cool. And then a month in, you're like, screw this.
Well, it was right for the guy. And, that's what's most important. It's just that, when I, it's just I have to live with it. I have to. It's like I have to be doing other things. And luckily, my wife... she kind of got used to it, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm good with it." So that was the main thing.
She was lying.
She wasn't.
Yeah. But she was
very
lying.
Nice. Totally
lying.
Very nice of her to say that.
You didn't kiss for 6 months, but other than that, she was into it, right?
She's like, "Yeah, I always wanted to be married to a '70s porn star."
Now, I'm not going to make fun of your accent, Kevin, because I think it's great. I love your Boston accent, and to me, it's right on. But then I'm not from Boston. But is it when you're doing it every day, all day at work? Is it tough to go in and out of? Is it tough to drop it at the end of the day? Is it tough? I mean, are you one of these guys on set who has to stay in character?
Well, I don't completely stay in character, but I stay in a certain kind of mindset, and I feel like if you do have a good understanding of who the guy is. Some scene should be able to be thrown at you, and you could just start living in those shoes. If somebody was to say, listen,
You know, another actor didn't show up. Now we're just going to do a scene where, you know, Jackie, you know, calls his mother or whatever it happens to be. You should be able to, like, kind of roll into that. So
so you're able to jump into it at any moment.
I am.
For six months.
I am. If it's well written and if the character is well defined, then really that was the secret to this guy. I mean, from the time I've read the pilot and read the first speech, I heard it. I heard it. I saw him. I saw what he was going to look like. I saw the mustache. I saw the hair. I heard where the voice was going to be placed and the way.
Have a racist alcoholic just under the skin. You're ready to access it anytime.
Listen, I mean, that's who he is.
That's the character. Why don't you describe the character for
him? Well, there's nothing. I mean, what I like to say is that you never really see a scene with him where he's not doing something offensive or illegal.
I mean,
or
that's true.
Self-destructive.
He's a complete a-hole.
Or destructive to the people that are in his lives. And yet, you know, you can. I feel like as an actor, it's not my job to step back and judge him. I can do it. And I have certain feelings about the things that he says are completely offensive to me, and I don't believe in that level of corruption and dishonesty and all that and philandering and all those things. I'm not a cokehead, and I you know,
some of the wording,
an alcoholic,
perhaps?
You know. Oh, the wording, it's repulsive.
Yeah.
But when I'm playing the part, Jackie thinks that he's on the straight and narrow. That's the thing that's crazy about him, is that he believes that the ends is justifying the means, and that what he does, everything that he does, is in the name of doing a good job. He thinks he's doing a good job.
And everybody else that isn't doing that doesn't get it.
They don't get it.
Yeah.
By the way, you could argue that in many ways he is also an effective police officer, too.
Well,
some of his underhanded tactics work.
He has been in the past, and he's gotten away with a lot of stuff, and he's clearly well known and powerful. But
he
at the
brought
same,
down the Anjudo family.
Yeah, that's right. He brought down the Anjudo family, which is, you know, based on a true story about the Boston FBI and their relationship to the mob at that time, to the Italian mob at that time. But the other thing about Jackie is that he doesn't like to admit it, but he feels his clock ticking, and he sees that his way of doing things is probably on its way out.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy and a guy who probably should be thinking about retiring and kicking back. And so some people say, okay, there's a character played by Michael O'Keefe who in the course of the season, you know, kind of makes those choices to just say, listen, I'm out. Jackie is pedal to the metal. He wants to run towards whatever, just so that he can't be caught in a funny kind of way.
It's a fascinating character. The show is called City on a Hill. We're talking to actor Kevin Bacon. It airs Sunday nights at 9 on Showtime. We want to talk drinking and smoking. We want to talk. Mm-hmm. We want to talk this fascination that you must have with Boston with all these projects you've done. Mm. And so much more with the great Kevin Bacon here when we return right after this quick number on K-Rock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Kevin Bacon is in the studio.
He is a Golden Globe and SAG Award winner. He's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You're still doing the band with your brother, 25 years strong now, for the Bacon Brothers, right, Kevin?
Yeah. We're just about to hit the road on Saturday.
Got a lot going on, man. Yeah. Got a lot going on. And he is a proud son of Philadelphia, yet I bet most people think you're from Boston because you've done so much stuff. Mystic River and Patriots Day, Black Mass, I'm sure I'm missing some, and of course the new City on a Hill.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Boston. I met Kira in Boston. We fell in love in whenever it was, our 80s. And I did probably, this is probably like my fifth or sixth job in Boston. And I don't really know why. I mean, I think it's just kind of a coincidence.
It's a horrible city. That's why. So there's a lot of great stories to be told, is what I mean.
Well, I think that it's always good to, if you're playing someone from Boston, it helps a lot to be there shooting.
Sure.
In the case of City on a Hill, we shot
our first and our last episodes there. And, you know, it just helps because you're on your way to work and you know, the guy that's driving you is going to sound like he's from Boston. Yeah.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's names are on the credits of this. They are the executive producers. I know you're a producer as well. So is this a project that their company found?
They did. Well, it was from an idea that Ben had, and he pitched it to a writer that he knew and had, I think, worked with named Chuck McLean. And Chuck, you know, took that idea and just kind of ran with it. He's a very, very, he's young, but very smart and has incredible history, historic knowledge of Boston, all things Boston, and the, you know, criminal, political, social, really like a, he's got a big hard drive, that guy. And
it's quite a compliment.
Yeah, he's.
I wish someone would say that about me. I got a big hard drive.
It wasn't a euphemism.
No, I'm sorry. No. I thought we were talking about. Okay.
Nope. He's good. He's good.
He loves the F word. I'll tell you that.
He does. Yeah, he does. And you know, Jackie does as well. In fact, we, you know, there's certain foreign markets that down the road, you know, they hope that the show will be seen in, and some of those markets, based on, you know, religious constraints or whatever, can't have any kind of cursing. And I didn't even realize it, but I've had to replace all of the language, and you know, it flows from me so easily,
right?
Yeah. as Jackie, and I don't even realize it. And sometimes I'll even, you know, embellish it a little bit just because it sounds great in a Boston accent, and it just is part of like his rhythms. And I end up with each episode sometimes 50-60 loops that I have to do.
Wow.
Taking out curses with really bad replacements.
Those are the best.
Like, what's
right?
A replacement for the F word?
Well, you know,
you go with freaking?
Yeah, freaking or frigging, but then there was one that they were starting to use a lot, which I didn't understand at all. I can't even think of it.
Something else, yeah.
Yeah, it was something else.
Instead of like, goddamn son of a bitch, they say, goddamn sat on a bench.
There you go.
Right?
You know what I was?
I hope not.
I was thinking Kevin Bacon, our guest here on the Kevin Bacon Show, talking about City on a Hill, his series on Showtime, Sunday nights at 9. I was thinking as I was watching this, there have been thousands and thousands of cop shows, thousands of legal shows.
Sure, yeah.
And I guess the reason we keep going back to them is because there's so much inherent drama,
yes,
built into it. And there are a million ways the story can go. And it's so fascinating. I know this show isn't real, but it's so fascinating to think stories like these do happen all the time. And there's just so much finagling going on. There's so much people just trying to navigate their way through it. And I just think it makes it super interesting because you don't know what's going to happen next.
Right, that's true. I think you're right, they're inherently dramatic. I think that these kinds of stories also work really well in a town like Boston because everybody knows everybody, and it feels very much like a small town when you're there. So a guy like Jackie Roehr, he would be a well-known, you know, kind of Boston.
Everybody sure. would sort of know who
everyone
he is.
Would know, and he would be working all both sides of the street, you know, between the cops and the mob and the FBI and the politicians and the DAs. And you know, that seems like it makes a lot of sense to me.
Is there a part of Boston that complains and says, hey, let's make a positive thing about Boston? Like, do people complain? Cops there? Do you get bad feedback from you're making us look bad type stuff?
I haven't personally, but I'm sure there are elements of that. You know, the movie takes place in 1992, and we're supposed to be, you know, telling the story of when things really started to kind of turn around in Boston, and crime did start to drop, and there was more working within the community. Listen, I mean, you can't make a show that has this kind of controversial behavior mm-hmm. and language and not have some people be offended by that. I feel like it's just that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jackie's smoking and drinking.
Yes.
As an actor, how tough is that to almost always be doing one or the other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a drag. They're herbal cigarettes, and you know, I'm definitely over them, and the crew is probably over them too,
because you're smoking like 10 hours a day when you're working, right?
I you know what I try to do is even if I have one in my hand, I'll pick, you know, the actual drag. I choose my moments so that I don't end up you know, smoking it more than I want to.
Right.
I feel like with the character that he is has a lot of oral kind of fixations, because a lot of times if it's not a cigarette, I'll come in with a donut. I, you know, did a scene in the episode 4 where I grabbed a sausage off the priest's plate and ate his sausage.
Again, not a euphemism, you guys.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, he's just always putting something, drinking, smoking, coffee, donuts. You know, it's a way of... It's a way of showing the way his wheels are kind of turning to me, and also that he has a very strong you know, self destructive streak.
Yeah,
not to mention
insatiable.
The coke, which is like a it's some kind of like a lactose based.
You actually have to sniff it.
Yeah, I'm spoiling. I'm showing all the smoke and mirrors here, so to speak. But yeah,
what a bummer. It's not.
I know
real
we're not going to have as much time as we like here, Kevin. But we all love the show so much. I want to point out a couple of other tremendous actors on your show. Obviously,
yeah,
our friend Sarah Shahi, who we've been in love with forever, is incredible. I've never seen her do a role like this.
Police
officer,
awesome.
Rachel Bennett, she plays. She's great. Jill Hennessy, who plays your wife, is incredible on the show.
Yeah.
And Aldous Hodge was new to me. I know that he's got quite a background, quite an IMDb, but I'd not seen him in anything before. As the guy who works for the district attorney's office, of course, he is mesmerizing. He is incredible.
Yeah, he's a superstar, Aldous. He really is. I feel like I'm in on the ground floor with him, because
that's got to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. We, you know, from the first time we played a scene, right when we were getting ready to do the show, we, you know, had dinner and met each other, and, you know, tried to kind of. It's funny when you're going to have that kind of a working relationship with somebody, you got to get to know each other really, really quickly. But we hadn't actually played a scene, and then we stepped into the ring, and I went, "Oh, okay, this is going to be good, because you know
he's bringing it."
Yeah, he can bring it, and he can give as good as he gets, and I love working with him. He's a great dude.
Awesome.
I feel like I mean I don't know anything about acting or actors, but even a guy like you who's been, you know, so successful and has done so much work for so long, I have to imagine it's still fun when you have a scene where it's you and another actor just going for it, just head to head, making magic. I mean, that just must feel so satisfying. It must remind you of why you got into it.
I truly, truly still love being an actor. I love acting. There's a lot of stuff that about having an acting career that becomes tiresome over time.
Yeah, of course.
But the thing that never becomes tiresome to me is the time between action and cut. It's like it's what I'm, you know, meant to do, and if I have a good great actors to work with and good stuff to say, it's a blast.
You know what I'd say? You're an actor's actor.
Solid.
To bring it around.
Solid. Work with a lot of people. Yeah.
If you want to see Kevin Bacon's Work With Like performance on City on a Hill, you should. Sunday nights at 9 on Showtime. It is terrific. We give it the stamp of approval here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So nice to have you in studio. I know we've talked to you on the phone a bunch of times over the years, but please.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
You guys remember the Kevin Bacon times?
Oh, yeah, it just happened.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Could have talked to him all day.
Agreed.
He's an actor's actor is what I hear.
That's what I've heard.
Absolutely. In a lot of stuff.
That's right. Allie, is there another final look at what's happening on a Wednesday morning?
I'll tell you this. I told him off the air that my friend Larry gets told all the time that he looks like Kevin Bacon, and he even dressed up as Ren from Footloose one Halloween, and he immediately was like, "Oh God, I'm not going to want to see a picture of this guy," because apparently he gets that a lot, and no one ever looks like him. But my friend Larry is a really good-looking dude, so I showed him, and he was okay with it.
He's like, "All right."
He did a video for Larry where he informed Larry that he is in fact his father, and you're welcome for the hair.
Wow!
Oh my God!
Very funny.
I am now Larry's favorite person in the world.
Because, is Larry's heart going to explode when he sees that video?
Well, I sent it to him, and I cannot tell you on the air what his response was.
Okay.
I'll just say he's from Boston. There were a lot of expletives.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to be looping that after the show.
Absolutely. Good stuff, you guys. So, The Lion King. It's coming out soon.
Right.
July 19th. Mm-hmm. They lifted the embargo yesterday, so people were able to talk about it. Reviewers. And holy, it's apparently the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm.
They still got it.
Right? Still got it. Apparently, so visually beautiful, just stimulating, gorgeous. Beyonce and Childish Gambino, amazing. Apparently, the standouts are Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen. They steal every scene that they're in. So I can't wait to see this movie. But Beyonce, of course, she'll be voicing Nala. She has announced a new album, The Lion King, The Gift. And according to Wrap Up, Beyonce will be contributing to, as well as executive producing, curating the album, which is going to accompany the live-action film. You guys, we have a new Beyonce album.
I am here for it.
I know you are. The Lion King, The Gift, is set to be released on July 19th, of course, the same day that the film hits theaters. But we got a little taste. The first single, Spirit, was released globally last night.
Mama, just kill a man.
Her voice is
it's
much
low.
Lower.
Put a gun against his head.
Yep. That's
pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Yeah, I think you
oh, that's the wrong
loaded
one?
The wrong one. That's That is not Beyonce.
I got it.
Okay.
I got Beyonce.
Thank
right
you, Bean.
Here.
2, 3, 4.
She's really gotten wacky.
Yeah, that's
she's really gotten wacky.
That is not her. That is from I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, now on Netflix.
Oh, you want the new Beyonce?
Yeah, because that was Fred Willard playing a bunch of different noises.
You want the new Beyonce?
Yes, please.
I have that.
Yes, please.
Okay,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is this like some kind of character?
That's
Kevin. You
not her.
You hit the wrong button.
You hit the wrong button.
You hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
I've actually.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Bean. Finally. Okay.
And here it is.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
I mean, you can dance to it.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I love that song. I really like that, actually.
You want the Beyonce song.
I want the first single, Spirit, which was released last night.
Spirit.
Wow,
I have it.
Okay.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Yeah, no, that's Beer Mug interviewing Shaggy and singing Shaggy to him.
I think that I...
Do you?
...can kill this bit. I really do.
Go come straight on. To hell! Oh, we're losing you.
Oh, no.
No.
Your mic's cutting out.
Tropical storm hit Louisiana.
Oh, I wish that wasn't happening.
Let's actually hear it, because I know a lot of people are excited about that. So just that?
So I don't have to go to church.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I just went. According to the press release, The Lion King, The Gift is a, quote, love letter to Africa, featuring beautiful multi-genre symphonies steeped in African influences from various corners of the continent. Okay, bring it on.
It does have the that Lion King background vocal sound.
Yes.
For sure. And I will say, I was nervous along with the rest of the Twitterverse a couple of days ago when James Earl Jones' name was trending. Because anytime a man in his 80s is trending, we all get nervous. But I guess
right,
for some reason, he wasn't in that cast photo that was released. It's a beautiful photo. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, he was not part of that, even though he reprises his role in this Lion King. But he's fine, apparently. I'd like to buy the rights to that story.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up something no one was thinking about.
I'm just saying, James Earl Jones is still alive, and we get to hear his voice again as the Lion King in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on.
I thought it was relevant to our conversation.
So, George R.R. Martin.
No! Come on, man.
Come on. I take it back,
Stop
Bean.
Stop doing that.
George R.R. Martin is dropping hints about the highly anticipated Game of Thrones prequel. The author and executive producer recently sat down with Entertainment Weekly to discuss showrunner Jane Goldman's pilot. It's shooting in Northern Ireland, and it takes place 5,000 years before the events of Game of Thrones.
5,000?
I thought it might have been a typo. Nope. 5,000. So the prequel leads up to the epic confrontation between the White Walkers and the people. By the way, divided into 100 kingdoms. That's how long ago this is, right? There's seven kingdoms on Game of Thrones,
right.
But we're starting with 100. There are Starks and there are Direwolves. Okay. Lannisters, to be determined.
Okay. All right.
And the title, we think, is going to be The Long Night, but he also said, I heard a suggestion calling it The Longest Night, which I thought, I wouldn't mind. Okay, just pick it.
He's just making up his mind,
George,
as he goes.
He's like, I don't know. Someone else said, call it Game of Thrones prequel. And I thought, very well. He didn't say that, but.
No.
So there you go, you guys. That's exciting.
When do we expect that?
A long time.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not in the story.
Okay.
I don't do extra research.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Sorry I asked.
Yeah. I know what you have been asking for, and finally, it's happening. 30 years after the 1989 John Travolta, Kirstie Alley comedy Look Who's Talking hit theaters, Sony is ready for a reboot, you guys.
Yes!
Yes! Finally!
Woo!
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 Talking babies!
Woo! Why is this happening?
Well, I'll tell you why. Audiences really liked...
Do we need all of that?
Really like Lucas talking?
Get his weak stock out of here.
Want to know how much it made worldwide, that movie?
Yeah, but 30 years ago...
Honestly, when there were, like, I would guess 70.
Oh, I would guess... Million? I mean, they made three of them, so obviously they were huge. Hundreds of millions of dollars combined, I would imagine.
300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. I mean... Talking babies, pretty funny. Like, you get to know what the baby's thinking when you pick them up. Like, ooh. Right?
Right.
No. I don't know if we need it. But it's happening, you guys. It's happening. Let's get to some birthdays. Sofia Vergara. Happy birthday.
Is she still the highest paid woman on television? Highest paid actor on television?
She has been for many years in the running. I can't imagine anyone took that spot from her.
And she should be.
And she should be. She's wonderful. And Jessica Simpson.
That was typical, Jessica.
There you have it, right there. By the way, it's also, we don't often or ever do people's birthdays who have passed on, but it's Nikola Tesla's birthday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, you remember him, Kevin, right? Do you remember?
He's one of Kevin's favorites.
I don't,
if I recall.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who of course came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It sounded fine to me. I didn't understand that anything wrong.
Really, Kevin?
Anything
really?
Wrong with
really?
That.
Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really? Really?
I mean, is it that much of a stretch? If you're dumb. Let's say you're dumb.
Okay.
Is it that much of a stretch?
No.
If you're dumb, put yourself in a position of being dumb.
Okay.
Okay. That's his name. It's the name of the car.
Fair enough.
Am I helping?
I mean, it's
Fair
science.
Enough. Am I helping myself at all?
No one can argue with that. That's his name, and it's the name of the car.
Well said, Kevin. Oh, that's what's happening.
5 p.m. commercial-free hour. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean. So Jensen is back with Get Up On This.
Yes.
We've also got Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow, and more passes.